نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. And I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, today we continue with Sharh Bulugh al-Maram, explanation of the book Bulugh al-Maram, and this class constitutes class number 34. Last week we spoke about the zakah, and this is a new class today, which is going to be about sadaqat al-fitr and sadaqat al-tatawwa and qism al-sadaqat. Today is Tuesday, 28th of Rajab, for the year 1419 after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is equivalent to the 17th of November for the year 1998. And for those who inshallah have the book Bulugh al-Maram, the attainment of the objective that we continue in page number 5, that we continue in hadith number 505, and this in page number 216, alaykum salam, and that sadaqatul fitri. As I had explained before, the word sadaqa, which usually, or the common term we use to translate the word, is charity. But this doesn't negate the fact that charity or sadaqa is the obligatory portion of money which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory on the rich towards the poor. So sadaqa does not mean a voluntarily charity. Sadaqa does not mean voluntarily charity. Sadaqa, it also applies to what is known as zakah. It also applies to what is known as zakah or obligatory charity. So what we discussing today, one of the kind of sadaqat, one of the kind of this sadaqat is sadaqatul fitr, the sadaqah of Fitr, and is named after the Iftar or the Fitr, the breaking the fast, because each time it happens after we finish fasting Ramadan. So you break your fast, it's no more fasting. Now this is the sadaqah of Al-Fitr. Hadith number 505 reported عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال فرض رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم زكاة الفطر صاعا من تمر أو صاعا من شعير على العبد والحر والذكر والأنثى والصغير والكبير من المسلمين. وأمر بها أن تؤدى قبل خروج الناس إلى الصلاة. This hadith is reported by Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنهما قال that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فرض. That means رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم made it obligatory. He made it a must. Okay? You can use the small one in the member. Okay? That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم فرض, that means made it obligatory, made it must. What did Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم made it obligatory? زكاة الفطر. زكاة, زكاة of الفطر. زكاة. Because it is تزكية. It is a means of purification. Because it is zakah, because it makes your faith grow, and it makes your blessings grow more, additional blessings. And also it is called zakah because the zakah means purification and cleanliness. So when you make the zakah, you profile yourself, you clean yourself from the mistakes, from the sin, from the greed, from being selfish. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made zakat al-fitr. He made it what? Make it zakat al-fitr, he made it obligatory. He made it a sa' from which is a measurement. They used to use in this time, they call it sa', will be a full sa' from dates or barley, and this will be for the slave, the free person, male or female, young or old, among the Muslims. The Sadaqat al-Fitr, which is tasdeeq and from prove that you have faith and you're willing to oblige the ruling of Islam to yourself, because it shows that you are truthful about what you're doing. Al-Fitr, which you break the fast. Al-Abd, which is the slave. Saghir, which is a person who did not reach the age of puberty. Al-Kabir, the person who bears the age of puberty. So from this hadith we understand that zakah or sadaqat al-fitr is obligatory, is a must. And we learn that only must on the Muslims. Okay? Must on the Muslims. As example, if somebody who's married to a woman of the book, she's not a Muslim, okay, so there's no sadaqat al-fitr on her. and also that to be taken only from the Muslims. And that the miqdar, or the measurement, or the amount of this zakah is sa'. A sa' is putting your two hands together and filling them four times. This will be sa'. Okay? One called mud. And four of them, that you fill your both your two hands together and fill it with rice, or raisins, or dates, okay? And we understand that our hands are different also. Somebody, as example, like Mustafa's hand, is not like my hand, is not like Abu Bakr's hand, like Naeem's hand. So we say the average hand of a human being, you put the two hands together and you fill it four times. Raisins, barley, rice, dates. So when you fill it four times, this will be equal to sa'. So one sa' for every person in your family. Okay? So you're going to fill your hands four times for yourself. And after this you add four times for your wife. And four times for your son. And four times for your daughter. And four times for your other daughter. And four times for your slave, if you have a slave, okay? From the Muslims in your family. And after this, you will take this collection, the total of this, and you give it to the poor and the needy. This is called Sadaqat al-Fitr, okay? And he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amara biha and tuadda qabla khuruj al-nas ila al-salah. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded that this to be given to the poor and the needy before going out to the Salah of Al-Eid. You could not do it later than this. Okay? So there is a time, same way like time for Salah, that also there is time for the Zakah. And this time will be ended by Salah Al-Eid. If the people made Salat al-Eid, so now the Salah, the time for the Zakah is over. And this hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim, and the hadith is authentic. The addition by Adi, which doesn't have a number, this addition is weak. Hadith number 506, page 217. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كنا نعطيها في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صاعا من طعام أو صاعا من تمر أو صاعا من شعير أو صاعا من زبيب متفق عليه وفي رواية أو صاعا من عقد قال أبو سعيد أما أنا فلا أزال أخرجه كما كنت أخرجه في زمن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولأبي داود لا أخرج أبدا إلا صاعا. This hadith reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri رضي الله عنه. He said that we used to give during the time or during the life of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم a sa' from food or grain or dried dates, or barley, or raisins, okay? This hadith shows you the different types of zakah. What kind of food that you use to give your zakah, okay? And another narration say aqat, and the aqat is dry milk. Before you take the butter out of it. Okay? So it's not spoiled. Okay? It's not spoiled. But they dry it. So later on, when they want to use it, they can cook with it. Okay? And it's still available. You need of drying the milk. Okay? And that the butter is still in it because there is a way that you can shake the milk, okay, in a certain way, until they separate the butter out of the milk. So the aqat is a dry, like almost you say dry cheese, or dry milk, but the butter is still in it. Okay? This also a type of food. So they used to give the zakah also from aqat. Yes, ma'am. Okay. He used to give it one sah, which is what? Four hands full. Okay? Put your two hands together and you give it out of grain or dry dates or barley or raisins. And Abu Sa'id, he said, I continue giving the same way like I used to give it in the time of Rasulullah. And this shows you how the Sahaba was so concerned to keep doing the same practice they doing in the Prophet ﷺ life. They don't want to deviate or do something different. So I used to give sa', I will give sa'. Okay? If it's raisin or dates, I'm still giving one sa' for each member of my family.
Could you please repeat the size of the hands? I wasn't...
Okay. Like I say, our hands is different sizes according to a portion of the person's body, okay? So there is small hands and there is the woman hand may be smaller even than a man hand. And a man hand is bigger than a small man hand, okay? So we say a hand is the average size of a human being, okay? Yeah, you put your two hands together. One full of two hands is called mud, but the sa' is four mud. So you fill your hand four times with rice just for one member of your family. So you count how members of your family and you multiply this by four hands full.
Somebody three hands does not have to fill it out full.
Heaven. Whoever gives more, you understand, alhamdulillah, but we understand that filling your hands, okay?
I'm not trying to be technical, I just okay. Understand.
Yeah. And whosoever, inshallah, be more, show good out of himself, Allah will show more goodness towards him. Okay? And in actuality, a person who does not have enough food for his family during the night of Eid, so the zakah is not obligatory in him, or that he has enough food for his family, and if he takes the amount of the zakah, now he's going to need food. So this person will be exempt. So, if there is a condition when you can give this zakat, okay? And this zakat to be given from food, okay? It has nothing to do with money. Because you have no money, but you can have a whole, what you call this thing, you remember, you used to have a big building in the field filled with grains. I forgot what they used to call it. And,
Silo,
something like this. A big, like a tower. And full with grain, okay? And the person maybe doesn't have money, but, or they have a lot of dates, okay? Because this is the food. So if you have more, enough to feed your family, the night of Eid, okay? And by taking this amount, let's say that you have 10 people in your family, include yourself. So that means by giving 40 handful of dates, that you still have enough to feed your family for this. Okay, I'm not going to go ask somebody for food. Now you are eligible to give the cash. But if you don't have, you are not. You are not one of the people to give the cash. You may be one of the people who may take the cash. Okay? But basically the hadith is showing us the types of food that you give the zakah out of it and the amount of food that is supposed to be given. Okay? And the hadith is authentic. حديث نمبر 507 وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال فرض رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم زكاة الفطر طهرة للصائم من اللغو والرفث again before okay طهرة وطعمة للمساكين فمن أداها قبل الصلاة فهي زكاة مقبولة ومن أداها بعد الصلاة فهي صدقة من الصدقات okay now the hadith reported by Ibn Abbas. The degree of the hadith is hasan. The hadith is acceptable, it's hasan, it's good. Here I want you to make one stop with this hadith. What it is? The word farada. Okay? Which is equivalent to the word as Messenger of Allah prescribed. Prescribed is maybe, but it's not strong enough. Okay? Farada means to make it obligatory.
I don't know if the word prescribed is enough to carry the same meaning of made obligatory. Okay. The word in Arabic farada. And farada means to make it must, to make it obligatory, became farad. Okay? From this hadith we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made farad the same thing like Allah makes farad. Okay? Because some people they say that we go only by watching the Quran. We don't go by the hadith. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made obligation as well as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make obligation. And the Quran says, مَن يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَعَ اللَّهُ. Whosoever obeys the Prophet, indeed he obey Allah. So there is no difference between obeying Allah and obeying the Prophet. Or disobeying the Prophet and disobeying Allah. Okay? And everything Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make it fard is by indication from Allah, as he said, وَلَا يَمْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He doesn't speak from his own desire. It is indeed revelation come to him. So the hadith here says, فَرَضَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ زَكَاةَ الْفِطْرِ. رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ made زَكَاةَ الْفِطْرِ, okay, a fard, obligatory. For what purpose? طُهْرَةً لِلصَّائِمِ, from tahara, purification. Tahara, purification for the fasting person. مِنَ اللَّغْوِ وَالرَّفَثِ, from all idle talk and bad words. Okay? And also other purpose, tu'matan lil-misakeen. So number one, that the purpose of the cattle fitr that you give after Ramadan is to be means of purification and completion for your fasting. Because your fasting, you may say one, a word that you don't mean it, okay? Or like say, skip of the tongue, or that you really, something's wrong, you understand that you said it, but he didn't pay too much attention to it. Or that a person was not watching himself good, so he said utter words. So, comes the cattle filter to be what? To be a means to purify and be complete and perfect your fasting. And to remove these mistakes that you did during your fasting. This is the first purpose. Okay? The second purpose is to become a food, a means of feeding the poor and the needy. وَطَعْمَةً لِلْمَسَاكِينَ. Okay? فَمَنْ أَدَّاهَا قَبْلَ الصَّلَاةِ. Whosoever gave it before the salah, which is salah? Salat al-Eid. Okay? Whosoever gave it before salat al-Eid, فَهِيَ زَكَاةٌ مَقْبُولَةٌ, will be acceptable obligatory charity. That will be count for him as the obligatory farida that Allah and His Messenger made it. And whosoever gave it after the salah became like a charity. Not the obligatory charity now. You see? So that means if you gave it before the salah, now you have fulfilled the obligation. If you give it after the salah, you had give a charity, you didn't give the obligatory charity. Like somebody didn't make Maghrib, but he prayed two rak'at before Maghrib when he entered the mosque. You see? He would get rewarded for the two rak'at that he prayed, but this doesn't relieve him from the punishment of neglecting Salat al-Maghrib. Okay? We understand this? So there is a time limit. And also, from this hadith we learn that, repeating again, تُعْمَلِ الْمَسَاكِينَ, the food, faqir, like he say, he has half. Okay? Like he almost, he can eat one meal a day. More than this, he could not find. Okay? The miskeen, he can offer to eat two meals a day, as example. But he could not make it to have three meals a day. You see? There is two different. So, the poor and the needy, both of them are in need. And this is the people who take the zakah of the zakat al-fitr, and by this we conclude this subject of the zakat al-fitr.
Can I ask you one more question?
Yes, sir.
Why is it zakat al-fitr and not zakat al-fitr?
Okay, like I said, that there is two terms for it. And sadaqah, because the general term is sadaqah. And the sadaqah comes from الصدق and تصديق. And which is to believe. Okay, it's part of the belief. Because this comes to be an evidence. Okay, to prove your trust in Allah and that Allah will reward you for what you're giving. Okay, from الصدق, being truthful and being trusting the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, so the sadaqah is a general term which covers the obligatory and the charity. And sadaqah and zakah, it can be taken the place of each other, as of how you say it in English, as well. Interchange, okay. Now look, also, when you go to the second chapter, Now, if you look at the second chapter, Assalamu alaikum. Brother Mustafa. In page 218, chapter 2, it says voluntarily armed, okay? That voluntarily charity, that means it's not obligatory sadaqah. And in this chapter, he talks about what you're given beyond the obligatory. Walaikum salam. Okay? That you're given what? Beyond what is must. Right. وَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. This hadith number 508. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال سبعة يظلهم الله تعالى يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله. فذكر الحديث وفيه ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأحفاها حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه. Okay. This is part of hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, this hadith which is reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, seven types of people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shelter them in the day of judgment under his shade, which no shade in that day except the shade of Almighty Allah. In another version it came that under the shade of his throne. Okay? That means, as Rasulullah s.a.w. explained, that the sun will draw closer to the head of the people. Okay? And the people will be sweating. And the people will be sweating according to their bad deeds. So some people, their sweat will reach to their knees, to their belly button, to their shoulders, okay? According how much it's in. While in this miserable condition will be other people be sheltered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And there's no shade and there's no shelter in that day except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made for those type of people. And there is seven people which he mentioned one of them here. Okay? وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا. A man who had given a charity in secret. Okay? Hidden charity to such a degree that his left hand doesn't know what his right hand is giving. Okay? That it shows you the expression, what does it mean that the left hand doesn't know about the right hand what's given, that he was hiding it so much, because you have to be careful about your intention and your heart. Because sometimes you may start with the action for the sake of Allah, and the shaitan comes to spoil it in the middle. Like after you say Allahu Akbar, enter salah, and the shaitan come and whisper to you and remind you about this and that and play with you in the salah. Try to spoil your salah. So your intention to give a charity, pleasing Allah, but now after this, and you say, now the shaitan will come in the middle and spoil it. Okay? Now you go, it's going to give $10, now you're going to make $100 because so-and-so was standing there. You see? And also that we should be concerned about the feeling of the people who are receiving our charity. You see? Because you don't want to embarrass him also. You don't want them to feel him that he's low or that he's receiving something. Okay? So you're going to hide him from the people and all as protection for your good deed, not to be spoiled. Okay? And also you're going to hide it from other people so the person who is receiving it is not going to feel bad of receiving it and to feel embarrassed in front of the community. Okay? And this has showed you that when we do something good, that we try to avoid showing off. Okay? And that we try to protect our deed not to be spoiled by the shaitan, by showing off. And also, the seven people that should be part of this hadith, or they are part of this hadith, that is not been mentioned here, because basically he tried to reach to the point of what he's talking about. But in a quick, for you to remind you about this, is Imam al-Adil, he's just a ruler, okay? He's just a ruler, is one of the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shelter them in the day of the judgment, because he's the head of the state. And in his power, that he can do anything. But he still fear Allah, and he was just about his judgment, his distribution. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him in the day of judgment with such a great reward that he will shelter him in his shade. The second person is a young man who grow in the remembrance of Allah. That his main concern is to be obeying Allah and to get to learn about this deen as much as he can, and as much he can practice he will do it. So instead of him going here and there and playing, and now the break time or the summer break, and now I go here to see my aunt, and this break time I go see her, and this weekend I can go swim and go play. Every opportunity, because young men or young teenagers, they have more looking towards getting sports and. But this young man, he was dedicated to the worship of Allah. So he would try to put all his energy towards how to be a good Muslim, learning about Allah, about the deen of Allah, and the practice. So for him to try to avoid, to try to sacrifice all this opportunity which he can get, and directed himself for the cause of Allah, Allah will give him a great reward in the day of judgment, that he will shelter him under his shade for the sacrifice that he did. And also a man whom his heart is attached to the mosque, that he always likes to be in the mosque. Okay? Every time he leaves the salah, God says where, when he gets the opportunity, he always coming back. So with this he shows you that masjid has not been done for people to come only in the weekend or in Friday. But it says that a man that his heart attached, you know what attached, like he's in love. He's in love with the mosque. That every time he wants to be in the masjid. Okay? And two men whom they love one another for the sake of Allah. And a man who been approached by a woman with beauty and position, and he say, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a man who had mentioned the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prophecy, and tears have came out of his eyes. Okay? So this is the other six people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shelter them under his shade. Basically the hadith came in this chapter to say what? وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا. A man who gave a charity, secretly, hidden charity, and he hid it to such a degree that even his left hand doesn't know what the right hand is giving. Okay? And the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 509, page 218, وعن عقبة ابن عامر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول كل امرئ في ظل صدقته حتى يفصل بين الناس. سبحان الله. It's so beautiful. Okay? Every human being will be under the shade of his charity in the day of judgment. So your charity will be working like umbrella for you. Okay? And that you'll be standing under it until Allah finish the decision and what you call the judgment among the people in the day of judgment. It's so beautiful, subhanAllah. Everyone will be under the shade of his sadaqah till the judgment between the people is finished. The hadith is authentic. So, alhamdulillah, this is encourage us, inshallah, that we give as much as we can. Even if it's little. Huh? Even if it's little. Never think that you don't have. You have something. Okay? And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة. Avoid hellfire even in the means of half-baked. When the poor lady came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم house, and his wife went to look, she could not find anything. And all what she found was one date. Was one date. And she gave it to the lady. Okay? And she gave it to the lady. And what did the lady do? The lady took the date and split it. And she gave it, gave her to each of her daughters. You see? So all what Aisha gave, she gave one date. Like what? 10 cents? So we never look to something that small. And if you don't have even any so-called material thing, the Prophet ﷺ told us that to smile at your brother's face will be a charity to you. Huh? So let's say that you don't have any money. Huh? You don't have any money. How much it will cost, you understand, to smile in Anwar's face? You see? So you will get a reward for this. It's so serious. So inshallah that we try to have something that will be shelter under it in the day of judgment. Next hadith, which hadith? 510. We leave it alone. The hadith is weak. Hadith 510. 510, page 218 is weak. حديث 511 وعن حكيم بن حزام رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اليد العليا خير من اليد السفلى وابدأ بمن تعول وخير الصدقة ما كان عن ظهر غنى ومن يستعفف يعفه الله ومن يستغني يغنيه الله متفق عليه حديث صحيح. In the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith is authentic. Hatim ibn Hizam reported that the Prophet ﷺ said that the upper hand is better than the lower one. Okay? What is the upper hand? The hand that is given. Because when you give like this, the other person brought his hand like this to take. So what is this teaching us? They're teaching us that you should be always try to be the upper hand. And what it teaches us also, that you always try your best not to be the lower hand. Don't ask. Don't beg. Don't put yourself in position, stretch your hand. Because it's not a matter of you don't have, it's sometimes a matter that you don't know how to handle what you get. You see? Sometimes the problem is not that you don't have, or you don't have enough, it's the way how you're managing what you got. So when you did not manage what you got properly, now in the end of the month they found that you going to do your hand like this. And Islam wants you to be the honorable person in a position of honor that you never stretch your hand asking somebody. If a person gets you understand his difficulty, this is a different story. But not to be your habit. It may happen sometimes, but not to be your habit. And always struggle and work and make money so you can be a person who always gives. You see? Because if you're working, now you are not, we are not expecting of you stretching your hand. You see? You're going to be what? A person who with the upper hand. So the upper hand much better than the lower one. And they start with the one that you're in charge of. your wife, your children, your parents, look under your supervision, the one you're in charge. They deserve your charity more than anybody else. You see? Take care of your own family first. And what you're given, although it is a must of you to take care of your wife and your children, but the beauty of Islam and the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this will be counted as a charity for you. You will get a blessing for it. You fulfill your obligation and you get a blessing. Always what? وَبْدَأْ بِمَنْ تَعُودُ. Start with those ones that you are in charge of them. And the best sadaqah, that you give it on dhahr ghina. Okay? That you give it while you're rich, you have. Okay? And whosoever, فَمَنْ يَسْتَعْفِفْ يَعْفُهُ اللَّهِ. The one who has the dignity. Okay? He doesn't want to stretch his hand, Allah will suffice him. You see? Even if you don't have, you should always train yourself to have the dignity, not asking. And if you train yourself and discipline yourself in this, now the unseen things that you don't see it, which is what you call Allah works, will come and take its place. Okay? But it has to do what? For you to put yourself in this position that I'm not asking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suffice you. He will make a way for you now. Don't go and ask. Do you believe that Allah knows about your condition or no? Do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares for you or no? So, say better for these people. Don't ask the people. Don't ask the people. Go make two rak'ahs and beg Allah. Ask Allah. Allah will make his way. Allah will make his way. And he will send something toward you. You are not less than the ant. The ant is not even, is walking in the sand and he's still alive and going and coming. That means Allah sends him something to it. Yes, sir.
What do you think about the need? If it's relative, they give the money, but they're not hungry, they use the money to wear a nice clothes,
or they have better food. They don't starve,
they
don't
use the money to survive.
It's still a charity, yes. It's still a charity, but if we have in the community people who are starving, now we shouldn't be giving somebody who's only going to give it, what you say, for buying extra clothes and extra food. You see? And giving to the relatives is still, even if they have, is still salat rahim. Okay? So you still have a reward for what you're giving. Even if you give animals to eat, you still have a sadaqah. You still have a challenge. For everything that you do, seeking Allah's pleasure, Allah will reward you for it.
There's a footnote, you know, at the bottom of the
It is forbidden giving away charity when the family members are in dire need of money. According to Muslim, the better part of money is one which is either spent on one's family members, or the one spend on a horses and jihad. Okay.
So we always have to put the money in what you may call it, what priority? Look to the priority in the community, okay? Not for what you call luxury or something like that. Yeah. But this is something very, very good discipline that we need to learn, okay? About whosoever have dignity for himself, that Allah will suffice him, Allah will take care of him. That this is something that we need to learn or to understand about it. وَمَنْ يَسْتَغْنِي يُغْنِهِ اللَّهِ. And that the one that will be self-sufficient, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suffice him. Okay? Do we understand what this means? Alhamdulillah. And the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 512 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قيل يا رسول الله أي الصدقة أفضل قال جهد المقل وابدأ بمن تعول like a penis to him. Okay? And somebody else that he has $100. The people came talking for Bangladesh and he gave $5. But this $5, you understand, to him, is a big thing. The man who has millions of dollars and that he gives $10,000, he didn't even feel, you understand, that he gives anything. It doesn't even show any mark in his account. Exactly, like you say, peanuts. Okay? With nothing. For the person who gave $5 out of the $100, he put a hole in his account. You see? But he gave it when he himself is in need, and this all what he had. So it's still also the condition of the person who's given. Okay? The condition of the person who's given. So, it's not because you're poor that you could not give. You still can give. And always start with your family. The hadith is authentic. Hadith 513, وَعَنْهُ, that means also reported by Abu Huraira, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَصَدَّقُوا فَقَالَ رَجُلْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ عِنْدِي دِينَارِ قَالَ تَصَدَّقْ بِي عَلَى نَفْسِكَ قال عندي آخر قال تصدق بي على ولدك قال عندي آخر قال تصدق بي على زوجتي قال عندي آخر قال تصدق بي على خادمي قال عندي آخر قال أنت أبصر به The hadith is a collection of Imam Abu Dawood, An-Nisa'i and Ibn Hibban from Al-Hakim. The hadith is Hassan, it's good. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم encouraged the Muslims, the Sahaba, to give charity. And Iman among them, he said, O Prophet of Allah, I have a dinar. He said, so, give charity to yourself. Spend it in yourself. Even spend it in yourself, okay? Go have a haircut, go buy you a shirt, buy a socks, buy you, understand, Subway sandwich, take care of yourself, buy a toothbrush. Spend it in yourself. It will be a sadaqa for you. If you can imagine, you will spend it in your own self and you will get a sadaqa. Subhanallah. I don't see where else you can find any deen and any religion like this. It's so beautiful. You will spend it in yourself. I wish I read this hadith today. Otherwise, I'll be taking care of myself today. Out of alhamdulillah. What? MashaAllah. You know, I still have a couple of hours left in the day or in the night. I can go give myself a charity. So the man said, O Prophet of Allah, I have a dinar. He said, go and spend it in yourself. He said, I have another one. He said, spend it in your child. He said, and I have another one, or one more. He said, spend it in your wife. And in the beginning of the hadith, Rasulullah was talking about give it charity. That means giving it to yourself, giving it to your son, giving it to your wife. It's still a count, a blessing to you and a charity to you. He said, I have one more. Say, spend it on your slave or your servant. Okay? He say, I have one more. He say, you use it in whatever way that what you want. You want to give it to your neighbor. You want to give it to your friend. You want to give it to Bosnia. You want to give it to Bangladesh. Whatever you want to do with it now, this is your choice. That means you took care of yourself, your child, your wife, even your servant. Okay? So now, you take care of it. See what you want to do with it now. Okay? Now you can go out of the family now. And the hadith is good. Hasan. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أنفقت المرأة من طعام بيتها غير مفسدة كان لها أجرها بما أنفقت ولزوجها أجره بما اكتسب وللخازن مثل ذلك لا ينقص بعضهم من أجر بعض شيئا. عائشة رضي الله عنها was here, reported that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when a woman spends from the food in her house, without intention of destruction or spoiling the welfare of the house will be counted as a charity for her as a result of what she spends, and will be also counted as a charity and reward for her husband, because he's the one who earned it, and the one who in charge of keeping this also will get a reward without anybody diminishing from the reward of others. There is one most important point here that we have to focus in it. Okay? First, the hadith is authentic. It's in the collection of Bukhari and Muslim. That shows the permissibility that a woman can give away from her house, from the food that has been bought by her husband without asking his permission, for what commonly known that he's not going to bother. He's not going to bother him. Okay? We ate dinner and left the over, you understand, and she gave it. Okay? And he did here a point, say, غَيْرَ مُفْسُدَ, without being wistful. Okay? So you don't go and say, I'm going to visit my friend today, and let me take the what you call the washer dryer set that my husband bought yesterday, a gift for my sister. Alright? You're breaking the economic of the house. You're spoiling the house now, you see? You can take things without his permission that you know that he's not even going to care for it. Now he bought a new rug, and this rug, okay, that you already been thrown it from the living room to the kitchen, and after this you drag it out in the front porch, and after this you put it in the back porch, and it's not even know if it's still in the house or not. But there is some kind of rug, you understand, the older it gets, the more expensive, you can understand, antique. And now, you say, oh, we got a new oriental rug now, you take this old one, the old one costs $3,000, what you call it, old. You see? So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, غَيْرَ مُفْسِدَ, something he's not going to care for, is not a big thing to him, okay, without spoiling the economic of the house. Okay? And sometimes some people, they cook for the whole week. Okay? Because the in or out, the husband works and the wife works, so they cook one meal enough and they put it in the freezer. So we eat them last night, this is left over. And take the whole part and give it away. You don't do this. You see? She has to use her mind. So she has the right to spend the form and give a charity from her husband food or whatever in the house without spoiling or without knowing, from knowing the husband, because the wife should get to know the husband and what is going to irritate him and what's not going to irritate him. So without spoiling the economic of the house, now she will get a reward for what? Because she spends. And the husband will get a reward. What? Because he's the one who earns the dollar to buy this food. And also the khazin, the person who keeps this food, you understand, in a locker or whatever it is, or in a charge, or also get rewarded. Almost like everybody getting rewards. Okay? So, and Rasulullah has to make it clear that this is not going to be causing of taken away from the reward of each other. So it's not because the wife got some reward, now the husband is not getting, or she will get in 3/4 and he will get 1/4 of a blessing. No. She will get a reward, he will get a reward, and without anybody losing any reward. Alhamdulillah. Hadith in collection of Bukhari and Muslim is authentic. Hadith 515 on Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal, جاءت زينب امرأة ابن مسعود فقالت يا رسول الله إنك أمرت اليوم بالصدقة وكان عندي حلم لي فأردت أن أتصدق به فزعم ابن مسعود أنه وولده أحق من تصدقت به عليهم فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق ابن مسعود زوجك وولدك أحق من تصدقت به عليهم. رواه البخاري.
This hadith reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, rahmatullah alayhi, the hadith is authentic. That the wife of Ibn Mas'ud, which is Zainab, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, today you have encouraged us to give sadaqah. And I have some jewelry, some gold, and I want to give it in charity. But my husband claims that he is the most one worthy of receiving this as well as his son. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the heir, indeed what your husband said is true. If your husband in need, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you a rich woman, that you have some money and he need it, he, by you giving it to him, he deserves it more than anybody. You'll be getting more reward than by giving it out. Okay? And say, and his son, which is possibility that his son from another woman, another wife, or that his son is from here also. But why? Because he is, she is not obligated to support them. So, and they are in need. And by giving it to them, it will be a charity for her and will be a sadaqah and a blessing for her. Hadith 516, days 221, that means 221, depend what language you speak or you understand. Hadith 516, that means 516. This is some way to wake up some of you. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يزال الرجل يسأل الناس حتى يوم حتى يأتي يوم القيامة وليس في وجهه مزعة له متفق عليه. حديث reported by ابن عمر in the collection of الإمام البخاري and Muslim رحمة الله عليهما. The hadith is authentic. Let a person keep begging and asking people for charity, for money, until he comes in the day of the judgment and no flesh on his face. Okay? That means is a mark or a sign of embarrassment because he has allowed himself to be always going and asking and begging. Okay? And he's supposed to be shy. So you took it as a habit that you don't have any, that you don't care for your face to be facing the people. Oh, brother, would you give me the answer? Sister, would you give me? Oh, man. Okay? So you're supposed to save the, we call it in, to save the embarrassment or the, of your face. Because the face is always what is facing the people. So as a result of this, he will come in the day of judgment, and is no flesh on his face, is physically and mentally, okay? Yes. No, because your parents are obligated to take care of you, okay? Going out and taking this as a habit, regardless you need or you don't need, became a habit asking the people, okay? And we should be always try to, as I said before, not to ask people, and that we have a dignity and self-content, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way for us. This number 517 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من سأل الناس أموالهم تكثرا فإنما يسأل زمرا فليستقل أو ليستكثر. Hadith reported by Abu Raira in the collection of Imam Muslim. The hadith is authentic. A person who begging people their money, asking their money, only to increase his wealth, not because he's in need, but became a habit and he wants to be rich by asking people, keep asking, and go from a masjid to a masjid, and from imam to imam, from organization to organization. Okay? And keep going like this, by the time he finished 10, 15 states, he has to understand enough income to live the whole year.
Okay? So the person who does this, indeed he is collecting fire. He's collecting jamr. So let him increase, continue asking, or ask little bit. That means like a warning. That means you need to stop this. Otherwise, see how much you're collecting this as much fire that you be holding in your hand. So if you have the ability to hold fire, now you should go ahead and collect and ask people to increase your wealth. So if you know that holding fire, coal or charcoal, how hot it is, and burning to your hand, the same way that you could not be holding the charcoal in your hand, so stop taking the people money without the genuine needs, or otherwise you'd be in similarity to the person who collecting fire in his hand. The more fire is there, the more burning that's going to burn your hands. And the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 518, وعن الزبير بن عوام ابن العوام رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لأن يأخذ أحدكم حبله فيأتي بحزمة الحطب على ظهره فيبيعها فيكف بها وجهه خير له من أن يسأل الناس أعطوه أو منعوه. Hadith in al-Bukhari, the hadith is authentic. Reported by Zubair ibn al-Awwam, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that it's better for you to take a rope, go collect wood, because you know, you use the rope, because after you collect the wood, you need something to tie the pile together, okay? For you to take a rope and go cut wood, and make a pile of wood and go sell it for firewood, this is much better for you than going begging people. So it doesn't matter, you're washing cars, you're sweeping floor, whatever it is, name it, it's still what you call it as a job. Even some people look upon it to be like it's nothing, it's still better than you begging people. Let me, Rasulullah ﷺ telling you, go ahead and work, do something, and earn a dollar better than begging for a dollar. Okay? So Islam doesn't look in any kind of occupation to be small or bad, but it says that this will be better for you, that you go begging people and somebody give you and somebody turn you down. Okay? Save the embarrassment. Have the honor being a Muslim. Have dignity of Muslim, and don't go ask people, go and do some kind of small work, would be much better for you. Hadith is authentic. Last hadith in this chapter, hadith number 519, عن سمرة بن جندب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المسألة كد يكد بها الرجل وجهه إلا أن يسأل الرجل سلطانا أو في أمر لا بد منه. That begging the people is like scratches, okay, in the face, marks, okay, and you don't want have scratches and what you call marks in your face, scars, okay? So, the minimum scars that you have in your face, the better that it looks, okay? So don't have scars in your face by begging, because every time you beg, it's like, I understand, embarrassment to you, like you're adding a scar to your face, okay? Except in two conditions, that you go to the head of the state or the person in charge of a mosque or organization, don't go from one to one, from door to door. Go to the people who are in charge, or that something that is necessity. Something is necessity. and you have to. Okay? Now, if you really have to and you have no choice, now you have no choice. Okay? So we have to understand that begging is very, very bad in Islam, and that we never do it except really we have something called necessity, that I'm going to have it or I'm going to be dead. I'm going to have it or I'll be on the sidewalk. Okay? Or I'm going to have it or I'm going to be deposited out of the... Whatever it is, that is called necessity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and the hadith is authentic. And inshallah, since we still have little bit in the tape, we have a small chapter that we can finish today. So, after this inshallah, because we planning to stop by Ramadan, and we would like to discuss fasting before Ramadan, which will take at least one class, and after this optional fasting will be another class. Okay, and i'tikaf during Ramadan, and this another class, so we have 3 to 4 classes maximum, and will be the time almost for approaching Ramadan, and we will stop for at least 6 weeks. So if you be patient with me, inshallah, we have a small chapter called Bab Qish Shabakat, division, distribution of the charity. How to divide the sadaqat. If it's sadaqat, charity, zakah, obligatory, or whatever it is. Nana? وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تحل الصدقة لغني إلا لخمسة لعامل عليها أو رجل اشتراها بماله أو غارم أو غاز في سبيل الله أو مسكين تصدق عليه منها فأهدى منها لغني. This hadith reported by Abu Sa'id, and the hadith Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, and the hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, Hakim. The hadith is authentic. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam letting us know that a rich person, okay, is forbidden to take from the sadaqah. Okay? A rich person are not supposed to be taken from the zakah. Is not supposed to be taken from the zakah.
Yeah, I think in this case, enough work to use, is that right? I mean, this is self-sufficient. Self-sufficient means just somebody who's able to get by.
No. Is it the word... You see, actually, I don't refer to the English. I don't even sometimes even see it before I come to the class.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
I'm glad that it's self-sufficient, no. Because self-sufficient almost like the miskin or over the miskin little bit. Yeah. No, the term used ghani. Ghani in Arabic is rich. Rich. Okay? Yeah. So... Ghani is somebody like myself, as example, okay? Because there is two types of ghana. There is ghana of wealth, and ghana nafs, which I pray Allah to make me one of this. Ghana nafs, that your self is high, that you're content, even if you don't have. So you're rich in your soul. Okay, that means you don't look to what people have, although you don't have it. I don't know how to explain. You can say grateful, yes, maybe grateful. That you're content with what you got. Okay? Yeah, I'm driving a car, but every 3 weeks or a month or 2 months, you have to take it to the mechanic. Spend $150 on it, $200. But you're fine. You see? You're fine. So, this is... call ghina nafs. And there is a ghina, which is ghina ard, that means that you have the money, the wealth. This also ghina. And the one with ghina nafs is much, much better condition than a person who has rich, who's dollar-wise. Contented heart, okay. Why? Because a person like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying the son of Adam can have a valley full with gold. He wished for the second. He gave the second valley full with gold. He wished for the third. He gave the third. He wished for the fourth. And the Prophet ﷺ said, none will fill the desire, or one will make son of Adam content except dust. That when you go in the dust, now this is the time you're going to be enough, which you have no choice about, when you go in the grave. You see? Why? Because if Allah didn't give the person satisfaction of the heart and to be content, regardless how much wealth he will get, he will break in his back for more, 1 million more, 1 million more, 1 million more, okay? And he may even make Salat al-Asr 5 minutes before Maghrib. Oh, I could not, because maybe this is the phone, you understand, I'm expecting Shimon coming from Alexandria, I understand, the ship is coming today, and after this, oh, how much, oh, 5 minutes before Maghrib, Allahu Akbar. Now he starts to make his ask. And when somebody comes, nothing say. The dollar, he gave $10 towards a charity. He has to make istikhara and istishara and 2 days and think about it. And for him to buy a cup of coffee, he don't want to buy it from a coffee shop and he buys from McDonald's because it's different 20 cents. This one is a professional coffee, okay, from New York coffee, whatever, bagels. And this one from Hardee's, the one from Hardee's, you smell coffee, but you don't taste coffee, you see. And this 75 cents, the other one is dollar and 10 cents. So even his miser against his own self. But look how much money he got. So this kind of wealth is sometimes become a problem to the person, you see. But a person who have rich in himself, content in his heart, okay, sorry, cool. Okay, close the door. Okay, so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding to be content in your heart. And if Allah give us the other ghina, which is money, that Allah give us the hidayah and the direction to spend it in what's pleasing to him, inshallah. So a rich person, he has no right in the zakat, with exception. What is the exception? A person who working towards this, towards collection of the zakat. Because the zakat is supposed to be collected by the governor. So the governor, he will employ people. So I'm a rich person, I have $1 million. And now the Muslim governor, he'll ask me, said, you go to state such and such, California. And from the city, see the rabbit or whatever you call it, you collect from this town. So this is a job now. Although I'm a rich person, but I'm working for the Islamic government. So those who collect the zakah, even if he's rich, he can take from it. Because he's taken not as a zakah, but he's taken it as a employee of the state. Okay? As a salary. Or a man who bought it with his money. I'm rich. And you've been given a zakah, a camel. Now I can buy it from you. You see? I can buy it from you with my money. Okay? Or gharim. Two cities, two families, two tribes, they're fighting together. Okay? And I'm a rich person, I came and I tried to make, to settle the dispute between the two. He say he owe me this, he say he owes it. Say, okay guys, forget it. How much, okay, how we can settle this problem? These people have to give me $5,000. He said, no, we are not paying $5,000. So now I say, okay, and instead, let them fight together. I say, okay, this is $5,000 from my bucket. Okay? I'll finish this war now. So I came as a mediator between the two tribes, and instead of shedding the blood, I pay from my own money to stop the fight. Okay? So now this person, you call it the harm. He has to spend from his own money to settle a dispute, which can be very serious. Now, when we have the zakah, we can go and give this man, which he is rich, but he has to spend from his money. Okay? So we can go and give him from the zakah money. Okay? Or Ghazin fi sabilillah, the Mujahid. He's going to fight fi sabilillah in the cause of Allah. He's a rich person. But we can spend by buying a tank for him, buying a horse for him, buying a machine gun for him. So, being him a rich man does not negate that we can spend buying equipment for him to go to fight the enemies of Allah and the enemies of Islam. Okay? Or a miskin that been receiving the charity, and after, just after he received it, I'm a poor man, I receive the charity now from the Islamic government, the zakah, and after this I go and I give it to Anwar as a dhamma. Okay? Anwar is a rich person, but he didn't get it as a zakah. Okay? He got it as a gift from me. Okay? Now we understand this? So, a rich person doesn't receive zakah except the earth through this means. Alright? The hadith is authentic. Hadith number 521. The رجلين حدثا that حدثا عبيد الله ابن عدي أنهما أتى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يسألان عن الصدقة فقلب فيهما البصر فرآهما جلدين فقال إن شئتما أعطيتكما ولا حظ فيها لغني ولا لقوي مكتسب. Muktasib. Two men came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they asked him from the zakah, the obligatory charity. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stared at them and looked, examined them, and after this he said to them, because he sees them healthy and strong and nothing wrong with them, they are not handicapped, they are not sick, they are nothing wrong with them. He said, if you want, I give you, but charity is not, the zakah is not lawful for a strong, healthy person. Or a person who has the means to go and earn a dollar. Okay? So, now I told you about the category of the zakah. Now if you still want it, I give it to you. And this is your problem now. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave them the choice by letting them know that it's not proper, but if this is what you want. But in actuality, according to Islamic law, if you're healthy, you are a person that you have no problems to earn a dollar, this is not for you. Now you want to get it? You let me know. And the hadith is authentic. Hadith 522, page 223 or 223. Depend what version of the book that you're using, okay? 223. Hadith number 522. وعن قبيصة ابن مخارف الهلال رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن المسألة لا تحل إلا لأحد ثلاثة: رجل تحمل حمالة فحلت له المسألة حتى يصيبها ثم يمسك، ورجل أصابته جائحة اجتاحت ماله فحلت له المسألة حتى يصيب قوما من عيش قواما من عيش، ورجل أصابته طاقة حتى يقوم ثلاثة من ذوي الجحة الحجة من قومه، فقد أصابت فلانا طاقة فحلت له المسألة حتى يصيب قواما من عيش، فما سواهن من المسألة يا قبيصة سحت يأكل صاحبه سحتا. This hadith reported by Qabisa, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith rawahu Muslim, the hadith is authentic, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying what the meaning is. Begging is not acceptable or allowed for anyone except in three conditions. A man who has become grantor of the payment, okay, to whom where is it? I missed the line. Whom begging is allowed till he gets it, after which he must stop begging. Okay? person like we complain about the person who tried to make peace between two people or between tribes, okay? All right. And he said, okay, this is on me. I'll take care of it. I'll pay. Okay? So in this condition, and he was not able to fulfill it, he can beg, okay, to pay this. And the second person, that a person that calamity fall in him, okay, destruction to his crops, burning of his house, something, flood, okay, and this person allowed to beg until that he can have something to cover his needs. And the third person, which is the person? Which is the third person?
A man who is smiting by poverty.
Yeah. Okay. A man who been smitten by poverty, the generous of his, which that means three people of what is in the community, that the trustworthy people, they will acknowledge that he in difficulty and hardship, okay? Other than this, begging is forbidden. Anybody who indulges in anything like this is taking unlawful money. Yes. Will be what? Again. Or if they ask him, why are you asking the money? Yes, yes, you can ask. Yes, you can ask, and we're going to get a hadith. It shows you that it is permissible that you know what the person, okay, needs the money for. Hadith number, and as I said, this hadith is authentic. Hadith number 523, page 224. وعن عبد المطلب ابن ربيعة ابن الحارث رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الصدقة لا تنبغي لآل محمد إنما هي أوساخ الناس. وفي رواية وإنها لا تحل لمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا لآل محمد. رواه مسلم. This hadith authentic reported in the collection of Imam Muslim, and it's saying that the sadaqah, the zakah, the charity is not permissible for the family of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he explained why, because this is the outer, the impurity, the dirt, the filth of the people. Because like you remember we said in the beginning of the class, that sadaqah, purification for the fasting, okay? So the sadaqah comes and it cleans you from your filth, from your mistakes, from your sins. So this like a water that when you make wudu to wash your limbs. So the sadaqah is the means to remove your sins, okay? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as well as his, the members of his family, they are above receiving the filth of the people. Okay? And it's not supposed to be, it's not lawful for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? So the Prophet, his family, his children, his grandchildren, anybody who's related to the Prophet until today, they could not take from the care.
People
married his daughter too. Yes. All the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes. Exactly. Okay. وعن جبير ابن مطعم رضي الله تعالى عنه قال مشيت أنا وعثمان ابن عفان إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقلنا يا رسول الله أعطيت بني المطلب من خمس خيبر وتركتنا ونحن وهم بمنزلة واحدة. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما بنو المطلب وبنو هاشم شيء واحد. Okay, that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم had given a share, okay, to the tribe of Abdul Muttalib, the sons of Abdul Muttalib. after the battle of Khaybar with the Yahudi, the Jews, okay? And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not give to Bani Hisham. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explained that Banu Abdul Muttalib and Banu Hashim are the same, okay? So they are related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are not supposed to be getting from the zakah. But there is a portion, okay, different, what should we call it, I forgot the name now. There is a, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes in a battle and he wins the battle, the booties or the spoils of the war, there is a portion out of it we call Zawul Qurba, okay, the relatives, okay? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam take out of this, okay, this portion, but he doesn't take from the zakah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made this lawful for him to be taken. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given Bani al-Muttalib from the fifth of Khaybar, okay? That you divide the spoils of the world five parts, and there is one fifth which goes to the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Bani Abdul Muttalib and Bani Hashim, they are the same, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made it clear that the tribe of Shams and Bani Nawfal, Bani Nawfal, they are not deserving because they are not part of the Al-Qurba. Okay? Hadith number 525, hadith before the last, inshallah. Hadith reported by Abi Rafi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. بعث رجلا على السرقة من بني مخزوم فقال لأبي رافع اصحبني فإنك تصيب منها فقال لا حتى آتي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسأله فأتاه فسأله فقال مولى القوم من أنفسهم وإنها لا تحل لنا السرقة. Okay, so this man which he was going to take care of some business for, and he said he was going to go to collect the zakah from the people of Makhzum. So he said to Rafi', come with me, okay? Because you come and collect the zakah with me and you will get a part of it. So he said, I could not do this until I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the mawla of al-qawm, the mawla of a people, a slave who been free by the people, they call him mawla, or if he's slave or he been free by this, he says their mawla, he's considered part of their family. Okay? So, the zakah could not be also lawful for him. Okay? So, Abi Rafi', he, when he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that the mawla of a people or a tribe, he is part of them. That means he could not receive the zakah. Last hadith, hadith number 526, عن سالم ابن عبد الله ابن عمر عن أبيه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يعطي عمر العطاء فيقول أعطه أفقر مني فيقول خذه فتموله أو تصدق به وما جاءك من هذا المال وأنت غير مشرف ولا سائل فخذه وما لا فلا تتبعه نفسك تتبعه نفسك. حديث reported by Salim in the collection of Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. that sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give Umar Ata. Okay, he gives him. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu say, O Prophet of Allah, give it to somebody who's more in need than me. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tell him, take it and utilize it or give it in charity. Whatever comes to you out of this money, without seeking it or try to give a hint to get it, so take it. Okay? And that means if a person been given money without showing from himself a sign of needs and wants, that you don't come and display yourself, as example, in some ragged clothes so that people think that you're poor. Okay? You didn't make a hint, oh, my car is broken, I don't know, I understand, I'm going to go to my work and I have to wait until next week to get my money so I can fix the car. So you're sitting that you didn't make any hint, you didn't look, you did nothing, and somebody came and dropped some money in you. Even if you don't need it, even if you know that somebody in the community more